Go ahead. What do you feel about the situation right now as a listener member?
I'm very upset about the situation at KPFT, of course, and I feel that it is important that we kind of not marginalize members of marginalized communities, and I'm usually not a member of a marginalized community as somebody that is white-looking, but at the same time, within kind of Jewish groups, that the number of people that support BDS, the number of Jews that are critical of Israel is very small. So, I mean, in some ways, it's kind of a marginal community or whatever. And we constantly hear that thing like, oh, you're anti-Semitic, you're self-hating Jews, or if we make a joke about being self-hating Jews, we are made attacked for that. And so I feel that you hear a lot of this at KPFT, of course. If you're against war, people tend to write you off in certain ways and say, call you a communist or tell you to go back to Russia or go to Cuba or whatever. They have all kinds of ways of dismissing you, and I feel that a very weak way of dismissing the boycott of Israel, which is based in human rights principles, has been to treat people who are part of that movement as if they're anti-Semites. It's unfortunate, and that's
thank you, Nick. Bob, you have 3 minutes.
Read the statement again, please.
Okay. Quote, I should tell you that there is some concern that support for BDS is grounded in the very real fear that it is thinly veiled anti-Semitism.
Okay. We were involved in a dialogue at that point?
Well, yeah, I mean, in the sense that there's a board and I'm a petitioner, so it's not really even dialogue, it's kind of a demand and a response from those who have some power to do something about it.
Do you deny, and I'll limit this to, I don't know what I'm limiting it to, do you deny that there is not some concern in some of the Jewish community that BDS is thinly veiled anti-Semitism?
There are people in the Jewish community that call people who protest Israel anti-Semitic because they can't imagine any other reason for them to protest.
So how am I guilty of an offense if we're involved in a dialogue and I say to you what you have just admitted is a factual statement?
No one's saying it's an offense.
It speaks to the
topic at hand.
So, I mean, I guess like at KPFT, if somebody was saying, well, we don't really want to have the peace attacked by we don't want to have a peace show because there's some people who think the peace movement's a bunch of commies. Like, you know, regardless of whether there are people who think that, I would think that KPFT would be careful not to indulge in that kind of a way of suppressing peace and justice organizing.
Do you recall when that debate was going on, people coming to the meeting and speaking against BDS?
Yes.
Was it me?
You said some things against our movement. This was one of the things. You were the chair at the time, so it kind of made us, it was part of the way that we were dismissed, but there were other people who spoke. Definitely, there was a bunch of, Zionist folks that showed up that I don't really associate in general with KPFT, and they spoke about it.
I think that's all the questions I have.
Okay, thank you, Nick.
Thanks.
Again, I don't know why this is relevant to the charge on this piece of paper, but...
Ben, please.
Ben.
He's out of the room.
He's not feeling the baby.
He needs a light.
Joseph.
Nancy,
can you? That might be a diaper.
Sure.
Or, okay. Oh, or a pad or something.
Ben. So getting back to the issue at hand, Ben, can you please tell us what you witnessed the night that Mr. Mark made a gesture commonly known as a Nazi salute?
Yes.
It was preceded by Nancy, was speaking there in public comment when she began to speak about a trial, or not a trial, about a lawsuit that Mr. Martin filed with Bill Crozier, maybe some other people. It wasn't clear. Bob told her that he would sue her, or could sue her, so that she would stop talking about it. Nancy kept talking about it. It was dismissed by a judge. She suggested that that meant it was frivolous. Bob had all of the signs of someone who was absolutely furious. He did the thing. People told him the thing's not cool. He kept doing the thing. And that happened, and that was surreal. What happened after that was even more bizarre, very disheartening. Pat said something. Pat spoke against it. Adriana took a picture and spoke against it. I remember Dwayne Lark condemning the action, but there weren't many other people on the board who said anything. And in the next 10 months, there was no action, no kind of acknowledgement or anything. I remember when there finally started to be some kind of traction about resolving this, that there was really no admission of, hey, you know, I'm sorry, this was wrong. It was, well, you know, circumstance, it doesn't really mean anything. We had the first, what would you call it, a hearing or whatever about it, and I guess I heard of an apology after that.
So no apology before?
No, at first it was, there's nothing to be sorry about. I had things going on in my life, and she was oppressing me, so I had to speak out against it.
So did you feel that he was blaming Nancy?
Oh, absolutely. And, like, not even, out loud.
And he wasn't calm? You wouldn't say that his demeanor was calm?
Lord, no, he was very upset.
And how did you feel as a listener member, and what do you think of our board for the fact that no one seemed to react to this Nazi salute?
I mean, the whole thing, when you take it into context, there was the threat of a lawsuit. It was about shutting her up. He was bullying her. You talk about democracy, that means that folks get an equal shot at being heard, but when you try to bully someone to shut them up, that is anti-democratic. One of the reasons we were given in the first round of non-apology was that he was trying to be ironic. The ironic thing is the action did have the effect of promoting white power, the power of a white man to shut a woman of color up who was only stating facts, public record facts. Hey, you sued the foundation. Hey, it got thrown out. What do you think about that?
Are you aware that we're not supposed to interact with the public during public comment?
That was my first, and that would have been my last meeting. I know this is a meeting, so now I didn't know that before.
And you're saying that he threatened her with a lawsuit prior to the Nazi salute? So
yeah,
he was interacting with her even before?
Yeah.
Okay. No further questions. Bob?
Did she call me a Nazi?
No, I don't think so.
You know?
No.
Okay. Can't imagine what kind of lawsuit could be filed, then.
Well, you actually did set the stage for what you were talking about exactly. There's some incident where you claim that she assaulted you. You threatened to sue her about that because you said something about an assault. You know, I could sue you still.
So the threat of suit had nothing to do with the Nazi salute. It had to do with the fact that she has allegedly assaulted me. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt.
We're asking, it sounds like you're asking for my perception, the threat of the suit was about shutting her up.
You just stated that it had something to do with an assault.
Yeah, that's what you said.
I didn't say it tonight. When did I say it?
During the meeting when the Nazis saluted Nancy?
At that meeting.
Yeah, right before you saluted her.
Okay, so we're clear on this. At the time, I was upset because of the unresolved assault.
Mm-mm, you were upset because she's talking about your frivolous lawsuit.
Did you know I didn't file that lawsuit?
How did you end up on the suit?
I was substituted in as a party.
I didn't know that.
Did you know that I was not a member of this body at the time that occurred?
No.
And did you know that I was, that the resolution of that case occurred prior to my being elected and sitting on this board this time?
I know nothing about it, except for
okay.
What you said. So, why then, if we're asking questions, why couldn't you just tell us that later and let that just go?
Well, I don't know why threatening, you know, the only thing in America that isn't a threat is threatening to sue somebody. If you threaten to hit them, that's a threat. If you threaten to wreck their car, that's a threat. But in America, saying, I might sue you is not a threat.
Okay, I mean, that might be like a legalistic definition. I'm not a lawyer, I'm a construction hand. I do know that we may or may not have set aside money to challenge a lawsuit, but that is a threat on somebody's resources, and it has the intent of making them leave you alone, hopefully. So if somebody's going to talk about the lawsuit that you might have been substituted on, somehow you're named in, one of the ways you can get them to shut up is say, hey, I could sue you. And if her truth was harmless, you could have just let her speak it. What you did, though, in the context of right now, if you ironically donned Nazi gestures and paraphernalia, people who are doing that right now are killing other people. The guy who stabbed three people in Portland was just acting out before he started opening people's throats. The guy in the University of Maryland just had a few words before he ran a knife up in the veteran's chest. So it was very, very bad timing and very inappropriate given the context of both that situation and our society right now.
I don't see any point in asking any further questions.
Okay. I have no questions from the board. Is anyone working on one?
I am. But you can go to the next witness. This is just a general question.
Is it
apply.
For Ben?
No.
How much would you like for rebuttal?
Just a couple minutes.
Two?
Three. If Robert Mark is not some closet Nazi that we don't know about, because we don't know what's in his heart, what would you still think of this Nazi salute in the boardroom?
It's unacceptable. It's already impossible to tell who among us is the next school shooter or movie theater shooter or whatever, and that's without people doing bizarre threatening gestures at folks for talking about lawsuits. So I think the threat, the implied threat and the actual threat is very real. It's unfair to everybody who's present, the person who's speaking. It made me not want to come back around for that kind of stuff. And I imagine it has the same effect on a lot of people. In particular, the non-white men among our community who maybe don't have the privilege to pretend to be a Nazi and laugh it off later. I don't know how that works exactly.
Do you think that these Nazi salutes that are done in a mocking or an ironic way, do you think that they trivialize the Holocaust, that they trivialize the strife between those in power and those not in power?
I mean, it was very tone deaf in a lot of ways and very negligent. And it was in a public meeting and by someone who's representing the organization in an official capacity.
And it made you not want to come back, period.
Right, yeah. Right, it just doesn't seem like a productive use of time.
Thank you. Bob, you have 3 minutes.
No questions.
Thank you, Ben.
No, I have a question.
You have to ask him before rebuttal, Jim.
What are you talking about?
I said that at the beginning of the meeting. Adrian, please call your next witness.
Would you call the Nazi salute for Mr. Mark as something out of character? Was it an out of character event? Or does it say something substantial about his character?
Well, I thought about this a lot, why he would do that to her at this particular event. And I think it does say something. This is a response to her pointing out the previous actions that she believed was questionable. I believe it was his way of avoiding her comments, trying to cast shade instead of dealing with the observations she was making. It reminds me of the November 11, 2015 LSB meeting, where Hank Lamb called the serving chair, Mr. Tony Lark, a boy. When it became clear, once the Mr. Mark is correct, when it became clear that the board was going to take action about the incident, Mark suddenly and very loudly began to protest that we were going to take action against Hank Lamb regarding that foot. He claimed that the action was against both the bylaws, Robert's rules, and that the chair was using his power in the process of that. The audio for that meeting is posted on KPFTX, so anyone here can go and listen to the exact events and hear the enthusiasm with which Mr. Mark tried to prevent any action being taken against Mr. Lamb for calling the chair a boy. All of his claims did, in fact, turn out to be false, but he did not stop insisting until literally it was me who read from Robert's Rules of Orders twice that what we were doing was clearly in order. Overall, my opinion.
So he was essentially fighting against any type of sanctions for a person that was on the board who called a black man a boy.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. Perfectly correct. In my opinion, trying to understand these things, Mr. Mark seems to use his reputation as a lawyer and a senior delegate to manipulate the LSB to purposes which, whatever his faction is. And I see this as yet another example of how he has truly no interest in being part of a democratic organization, just a tool of his faction. The Nazi salute was just another way to destroy communication and create chaos in the LSB, and to make sure that that point that Nancy was bringing up was not going to go anywhere. It was a silencing technique.
Thank you. No questions. Bob?
Do you recall when I spoke at that meeting that I felt that the process that should be used was those as set forth in the bylaws for sanctioning a delegate from the LSB?
I do recall that.
So I was arguing my point of view as to what was legal and what was not.
Yeah.
Do you consider that to be the same thing as being against sanction?
Yes. Because the way you were phrasing at the time was when we attempted to begin a process to hold them accountable, your argument was we couldn't do it because it wasn't in proper Robert's Rules or bylaws compliance.
So that was my opinion. But one member of the board.
That's right.
Is that somehow condoning calling a black man a boy?
No, I don't think it was about. I don't even think the racist element fell into it. I think it was all about just protecting Hank Lamb, who happened to be a member
of action on the LSB.
Mr. Lamb was in fact sanctioned that night.
He was.
Do you recall I voted for the motion to sanction him?
I wouldn't be surprised if you did, but I don't recall exactly.
That's all.
I have a question from the board. What corrective steps are needed to exorcise a sense of hostility at the station? Exorcise.
To remove hostility from the station? Honestly enough, as contentious as these trials are, we need them. Because people use these lies and accusations and don't go answered. They want it just hanging in the air to create a hostile environment to keep people from talking to each other. That's what is destructive. If we're going to actually act as a board and effectively do things, we have to, one, respect what Robert's Rule says. The right of the majority is what matters. And if you're in a majority, whether you're in a faction or not, or just your opinion that you want to have different, your rights as part of this organization is you get to say what you have to say and then vote your conscience. But when people try to manipulate the rules, they try to say, no, 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 you can't do this, and they're actually lying about Robert's Rules or what our bylaws are or something like this, they're undermining the democratic process that we're supposed to have to be able to do the work. We wonder why the LSB has been so ineffective for the last, 8 to 10 years? It's because it's so difficult when people are willing to walk into the room and intentionally misquote bylaws, standing special rules, Robert's Rules, so that they can undermine something that they just don't agree with the majority is doing. But the majority, by parliamentary law, has the right to decide to do what they think is best. It's not the privilege of any single person or any faction members in the minority to say, no, you guys are a bunch of idiots, and we're just going to see if we can just use rule trickery and snake oil to undermine your efforts to do what you think is right for the station. Does that answer the question?
Any other questions from the board?
Yes.
Audience, I'm sorry that I forgot to tell you this, but our agenda is posted over there. So I should have said that at the beginning of the meeting, but refer there if you're wondering where we are. We're at the prosecution witnesses. Because a Nazi salute conveys extreme hate, do you consider a Nazi salute as, quote, watch your back?
Not exactly sure what that question means. What I will say is it is a symbol of communication that, as I said already, shuts down communication. And we in this boardroom are not only here to talk to each other, we're also here to talk to the public and what they have to say. We may not like what they have to say. Maybe we just disagree with what a lot of people, other people believe. But we shouldn't be shutting people down. If we want to do something different that we think is best for the foundation, we should be open, we should show our reasoning for doing so, and proceed. You shouldn't try to do things in back rooms and then come out and say, well, it's all too late. We didn't tell any of you what we were going to do, and now it's all done. That's not remotely in the Pacifica mission statement. We're about being an organization that brings voices out of the dark. The whole reason we exist as a radio station and network is to fight this alt news and big media that only puts out what the big powers want to have heard. We exist solely for the purpose of being some source apart from, you know, something canned that someone has decided you get to hear. That's why we put all these little crazy people on the air, and I don't agree with every programmer that we have, but they can come to us, and they get to put something on the air that comes from our community. Now, a lot of it's really good stuff, and even if it's not, even if some of it is a little off the wall, at least it's what some people are thinking, and at least we can maybe better relate to them for that.
I have a question. I'm going to read it. I'm not going to ask it, and be prepared to challenge if you would like. The question for Joseph is, Is it more out of order to call someone boy or to threaten physical violence against women? I'm going to rule this is not relevant to the charges. Who would stand with the chair in not asking this question? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay, I'm not going to have you answer that, Joseph. I don't have any more questions from the board. How much time would you like for rebuttal?
Bob?
Okay, thank you, Joseph.
Thank you.
Adrian, call your next witness.
That's it. That's it for me.
All right. Bob, you're up. Who is your first witness you would like to call?
I did. I'm thinking. I thought I had someone I wanted to call, and I'm trying to remember why.
Okay.
And since I can't remember why. Oh, I know. I know why. I call Adrian LaViolette.
Can we do this? I'm okay with it.
It's an actual question. There's no question.
Bob, can I just get your confirmation on this? Then when it's her turn, can she just speak for 5 minutes? Is that how she should be heard?
Limited to the scope of the examination.
Okay, thank you.
Adrian, it's been alleged here that somehow I manipulated the system to delay this process till tonight.
That's not true.
I was going to say, can you explain to us how I did that?
I've never contended that you did. I don't believe that you did at all.
No, that's why I called you as a witness. That's all.
You have 5 minutes. Okay, are there questions from the board? Just following the process, people. Okay. Do you have any more witnesses?
No.
All right, we are going to take a 5 minute recess and then we will have rebuttal witnesses. I'm going to start time. I'll give you a 1 minute warning and then we're going to start. So we're not going to round you up like cats. Be back here in 5 minutes.
When are you going to ask the question? When will it be appropriate to ask the question for a second? Can you ask him to go close your rules? Judon, how are you?
You too.
Like our reason.
Company wide meeting. I think we picked the dates. And then I was October in one conference here at the hospital before. And again, I took control of those dates. So I was at a conference.
Okay, thank you.
I am the treasurer for the nonprofit organization.
Are you working so
long on the process? Well, I'm not treasurer.
I'm not the question.
I'm not
Keeps things in perspective.
and keep records.
Alon.
When he was campaigning.
Alon.
When he was campaigning.
Did you see the agenda up there?
No,
we're
going to
have two breaks.
Not,
yeah. So we'll have this one, and then we'll have one after the closing argument.
On the case.
I'm
just sitting people down, go down.
And then when it comes to deciding what good for black folks, it's always the wrong thing. You represent the liberals, the establishment, you represent the progressives.
It's good to see you. You should have given me a hug when I was over there. So. How's life treating
you? Fair. I'm just glad to get past Thanksgiving. My mom likes that whole cooking drama.
I guess tradition. That's why I've never really had a very good Thanksgiving tradition. So it's always been kind of a train wreck.
It's always a day to relax to me until I move back with my mom. And so I'm just like, it's a day of rest. I like harmony. My mother likes to compare notes with her girlfriends.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
all right, everyone.
Ordering
pizza. That's our recess.
Women and their personal safety differently.
Yep.
And I mean, my grandfather was married to a woman, so I can't go right in. It means culture and that. It means you have to look at your show everywhere you go. And especially for my mom, and I don't see it at least to answer that.
I just hope it doesn't go until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Did you receive the letters?
All right. Just to clarify where we are, everyone, we are at prosecution rebuttal witnesses, then we'll do defense rebuttal witnesses, and then we'll have closing arguments. Adrian, who is your first rebuttal witness? Come to order, everyone. PK.
Yes, ma'am.
Pat, please. Pat, since you were right there when this happened, I want to ask you, did you consider it a threat? Do you consider this behavior to be threatening to the LSB, to the station? How does that work for LSB and the station?
Yes, I consider it a threat, because any time that someone throws up a hate symbol, it's a threat. Is it a threat to me as a white person? Not as much as it's a threat to a person of color or a person of a different non-Christian faith. But yes, it's a threat. If someone throws up a Nazi salute today because of the election of Trump, he has been given a green light to do anything that he wants to. After Trump was elected, we saw a rise in the hate crimes, and we're still seeing a rise in the hate crimes. It's okay to walk down the street and attack a Muslim woman now. It's okay to go into a classroom and tell Muslim children they need to go home. So when one throws up a Nazi salute, I don't know what's in his heart. He may be a member of the Klan. I don't know that. Because he has openly thrown up a Nazi salute, I don't know what he's doing in private. I think we, as older people and as white people, have an obligation to take care of young people of color and youngsters, children, and teach them what is right in this world. The KPFT board, I'll make this statement again, I will take my grandchildren to a Texas execution in Huntsville before I will bring them to a board meeting. And that's really sad because we know firsthand what an execution is. But the board, if they don't make the right decision tonight and kick this man out of this room and away from the station, you're telling the public, we accept that. I'm going to talk about Hank calling a black man a boy. That next couple of nights at the prison show, he bragged. Oh, I stood up and I got myself out of a meeting for a couple of times and I'm all right. So if you don't sanction this man by completely removing him, he's going to be able to do the same thing.
I want to ask a question, and I want to make sure this is actually a question that's not about Robert Mark, but it speaks to the atmosphere of KPFT. How do you think minorities are treated and represented by KPFT and at the station and on the LSV?
Number one, when you say minorities, I have a problem with the word minorities.
Sure.
Houston is a majority Hispanic. Latino.
And let me clarify, by minority, I mean in terms of power, not in terms of numbers or, like.
There are KPFT's board and the station down in Montrose is run by an elite white group. I made a chart, remember, a couple of months ago? And PK talked about that chart. About how many white programs there is, how much Americana music it is. That is a code word for racist music. When I first came to Houston and I got introduced to KPFT, you could, any time of the day, you could turn on that dial and hear something different. Now, what do? You turn on that dial and you hear Americana music. And they throw in a few token blacks. They throw in a few token Latinos. And they think that they're okay. The atmosphere at the station. Now, and when this happened with Mr. Mark, it was before the upheaval of the illegal firing of the first black man that was the head of KPFT. So had that illegal firing not taken place, I would imagine that the atmosphere would be much different. Now it has reverted back into a Trump era. And I don't care if you tell me you didn't vote for Trump. Your actions tell me you did. Because you didn't jump up. It was the duty of every one of y'all, every one of you, to jump up. I do know that some of you are new on the board. You weren't around. And I do know that your first meeting was the second month that I got up and said, y'all are either going to do something or I'll go public. And so the atmosphere at the station, led by Mr. Crozier and Summerall Winters, whatever name he's using this week, and Rhonda Gardner, has solidified what we don't need at KPFT. You have a chance as a board tonight to show the listeners that no, we want the community involved. We want the majority of Latinos in the Spanish-speaking people involved. We want the next majority of blacks, gays, involved. We don't have that at the station now.
And what are you saying?
You're not time to
okay, sorry.
That's great.
Bob, you have 5 minutes.
I can't address that. It has nothing to do with this case.
That you would call objections while she's asking the question.
I have an objection about the board member sitting in the audience and acting like a clown.
Bob, ask your question.
I don't have a question.
Okay. I have no questions from the board. Cliff, would you let me ask that question?
No.
Made a statement. Can she respond to the statement that what she just said is not relevant to the charge?
No. Are there any, do you need rebuttal minutes? Okay.
Oh, yeah, I do. One question.
1 minute.
If we don't do anything about this, what will that say to the community? What will that say to black, Jews, homosexuals?
It'll say that we might as well be a mass media. And who's that station, that Cox Media that runs all those radio stations? But in reality, I think that's what some of the board members want. That they want to run it into the ground so they can take it over and make it a can music. We have the opportunity now to speak up like we did in the late 60s and early 70s. Surely y'all remember that time. Y'all are old enough, and you're old as I am. And it's time to speak up and set aside and give these youngsters, and when I say youngsters, KPFT ran a whole group of black disc jockeys off. A whole darn group of them. Let them come back. Let the Latinos come back. Instead of having this canned Americana music.
You have a minute, Bob.
I don't have any questions.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Pat.
Do
you have any other rebuttal witnesses, Adrian?
Nancy?
Nancy?
Not the room.
Nancy?
Okay.
Nancy!
She's
coming.
There's movement.
May I ask, what is this witness rebutting?
I don't know yet until the
dispute some evidence that's been given.
You can object to any question, Bob. Wait till the question is asked. Hi, Nancy.
He's talking.
Adrian's asking a question.
Did you ever see Robert Mark yell at a programmer? The MSRC meeting.
Oh yes. I'll never forget that. I can't remember what year it was. I think it was 2012. And the MSRC is the Management Selection Review Committee, and very few programmers come. They're scared to death of retaliation from the manager. Maybe one reason I think it is. But anyway, very few come. But this one came. And he did not demand executive session at open, you know. So there was another programmer, and so she came in too and sat down. And this programmer is kind of elderly one, and he's been at KPFT a long time, and he talks with his finger, okay? So while we're listening to him, Robert Marx suddenly yells at him and says, "I feel threatened by your index finger." And so Ray Hill puts his fingers in like this and puts it on the table and looks down. And it's like a child that you were scolding, or I don't know, you learned this in prison or what. But I was so shocked. All I could say was, "Robert." I think Susie Moreno asked a question about, how long do you think a general manager should be in that position. And he answered it by saying, the people who come here with the crusade, they stay longer than the people who come to pick up a check. Okay, so I think we need to have a little more, I don't know how this is going to come about, but we need to protect our people from horrid anger, rude behavior. I mean, that really stuck with me. Later I felt, well, why didn't I say something? Why didn't I do something? All I could do was like, Robert. That's all I could do. I hope that never happens again. If y'all don't know who Ray Hill is, does anybody not know who Ray Hill is? You don't do that to your founding father.
No question.
Nancy. Mm-hmm. Was this incident before or after you came at me with a threatening manner and left me bleeding on the floor?
No. Come to order. What's the basis of your objection?
You don't recall the time you came at me and the chair went over backwards and I cut my elbow?
Bob, this isn't relevant to the charges or the specifications.
It's as relevant as Adrian objects.
You didn't object to that question.
I thought I could cross-examine.
You may, to relevant questions. It was objective.
Can I not be threatened as a
Nick.
Person in a wheelchair
you're
by someone who's
Bob,
your
I'm trying to process here. Nick challenged me, and I need to process.
You've given the prosecution wide latitude. I think you need to give the defense the same latitude. That's fine.
That's right.
I think that this line of questioning is irrelevant to the charge and specification at hand.
If
you uphold my ruling, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. If you would like this line of questioning to continue, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's tied. I rule that we end this line of questioning.
Well, there's no justice here, is there?
Do you have any other relevant questions? No.
How about?
Come to order.
Shaking your fist in someone's face and smiling, is that
Deb.
Okay?
You.
Is it?
Don't now.
It is okay, isn't it? It's okay because he's your friend.
Huh?
Bad behavior is okay if it's your friend. Shaking your fist in
objection.
A lady's face in this meeting,
objection.
These meetings, is okay
question.
By you.
Objection.
What's
question.
Your question, Bob?
I don't understand what you're saying.
Shaking your fist.
What's your question?
That is a question. Shaking your fist. A woman at one of our meetings is okay by you.
Nancy is not on trial.
That's
objection.
A question.
I don't know what you're talking about. She wasn't her.
Well, hypothetically, would that be offensive?
Relevance.
We are discussing the degrees
are
of
Are you
going to
do that?
No, Bob has the floor. Bob.
You have consistently raised the point that this salute is somehow threatening.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to learn on the grand spectrum of things, what is where that might stand in terms of threatening behavior.
Objection of Mr. Markey's to learn that he needs to go to a sensitivity training class. They'll explain that to you.
I
agree. I'm going to end this line of questioning. Bob, do you have another question?
How about pulling a knife on somebody?
Do you have a different line of questioning?
You won't let me defend myself. I guess I don't.
Okay. I have no questions from the board. Do you need any time for rebuttal? Adrian, thank you, Nancy. Adrian, do you have any more rebuttal witnesses? Bob, you can call your first rebuttal witness.
I don't have any rebuttal witnesses.
Okay. Then we are going to move on to closing arguments. We'll start with Adrian. They each have 7 minutes. Okay. I'm going to take some deep breaths.
And I'm going to need... I don't want to yell. Me too. Thank you.
It'll probably be better if you leave the lights on.
Okay.
I'd like to direct everybody's eyes to the monitor, please.
Recent reactions to hate speech have been swift and decisive for good reason. An enlightened and progressive society has lost its tolerance for hatred and bigotry. WWE wrestlers are being fired for posting hateful images. TV stations have canceled shows because hosts have made homophobic comments. Website hosting companies have removed hate speech sites from their servers. I can name countless examples, but in nearly parallel example to what Mr. Mark's actions were, Jeffrey Lord was fired from CNN. In an antagonistic Twitter feud with the head of Media Matters, Jeffrey Lord tweeted Zeke Heil in what he described as a mocking tone. CNN immediately fired Mr. Lord. In their announcement, CNN stated unequivocally that Nazi salutes are indefensible. Who came to Mr. Lord's defense? President Trump, who accused the behavior as that of someone who was fighting back. Mr. Mark also felt that he was fighting back. In Mr. Mark's written statement, he referred to this action as a silent protest. During commentary at the July 12th LFP meeting, he stated that he made the salute in reaction to Nancy because he wasn't allowed to comment during public comment, and goes on to recount the story that you heard tonight, wherein he was a victim of an assault from Nancy that never got resolved, and that this was quote-unquote weighing on his mind at the time he made the gesture. So in essence, it was an angry, vengeful reaction that he either chose to make or could not control. Either way, it's unacceptable. Fellow LFB members, we are members of an organization who has a social justice mission. We cannot afford to stand by and condone those who foster and benefit from a culture of systemic oppression. We cannot accept hate speech from our board members, no matter what the context. You see, in Mr. Mark's statement, he speaks about mitigating circumstances. There are no mitigating circumstances to hate speech. We cannot afford to continue to function in and excuse this level of hostility. Our reputation has been damaged and the public is watching. We cannot continue to ask for public support to a station where we allow this type of thing to happen to one of our listener members by a person who is representing us. Let's send a message that we are better than this and that we are going to change the way we do business. We can't let CNN, another media outlet, outdo us, Pacifica, on a matter of social justice. That would just be too sad for words. Also, we can't let the radio station that was bombed by the KKK now have board members who do Nazi salutes to listener members during public comment. Board members should be able to consistently meet a minimum standard of conduct and common decency. This is something that we expect our children to be able to do, and it should take a minimum of self-control. If it requires more than this, then we do not have a suitable disposition to being on the board. I would like to direct you again, the monitor. This is another example of someone who clearly did not have a suitable disposition to be on a board member. This is Marsha Radosevich. She was a planning and zoning board member and a member of the Chamber of Commerce. During a public meeting involving difficult negotiations and disagreements with Tim Stillings, a planning and development service director, she offered Stillings a Nazi salute as a way to communicate that Stillings was behaving like a Nazi. She resigned from the board and was forcibly removed from the Chamber of Commerce following an outcry from community members, advocacy groups, and the media. We are accountable for our actions in this world. Accountability is not about punishment or revenge. It's about justice, and the opportunity. And if the opportunity is not wasted, it promotes growth of character and turns us into better people. That's why we never forego consequences to bad actions with our children, because we want them to learn from the experience, and the same holds true for adults. Mr. Mark, please spare us the vote tonight. Do the right thing and resign from Pacifica, and use this experience to grow as a person. A line has been drawn for us. If you refuse to resign, I would hope that Pacifica can do at least as good as the Worldwide Wrestling Entertainment Federation, or CNN, or the Chamber of Commerce, and countless other organizations who have decided that those who use hate speech the way that you did should be removed from their position.
Bob, you have 7 minutes.
I would like to first start out by saying that I have been done a great disservice.
Oh, Lord.
Come to order.
Please. I have been sitting here all night for something that could have been resolved 2 hours ago when I pled guilty, because somehow the chair of this body and the majority of its members wanted to make me not only guilty of giving a Nazi salute, but guilty of all the racism at KPFT, even though I think everybody here knows that the thing I am least interested in at KPFT is programming and those who do it. I said that the first day I showed up. I don't care what you play on the radio. I have been held responsible for racist attacks that occurred after this event. I have been accused of several offenses as a member of this body, which were not listed on here, and I could not possibly have prepared for. And then, when I object to that, I am told that my line of questioning is not relevant to this proceeding. I have generally been done a gross violation of due process. You could have written all that stuff out and handed it to me, so I might have sought relevant witnesses and, more important, evidence of things in context. But I'll say it again. I apologize. I'm surprised the prosecution did not want to present my written confession, where I don't remember the date of it, and I can't find it on my phone. But I did, in fact, send a written confession with an apology, with an offer of atonement. And it was not in any way responded. Well, I've been given a copy of it, so I'm just going to ask that it be put into the record of this meeting, because I don't have time in 7 minutes to read it. And so my final comment is, you're going to do what you're going to do. I suspect a lot of it has little to do with me and a lot to do with Mr. Crozier. But I don't know. And I will just say as a final word that when y'all get home tonight, I want you to read Psalm 30.
Sure.
I think it would be an excellent exercise for this proceeding.
Thank you.
I have something that I
need. We have a 5-minute recess, and then we will come back for deliberation and possible sentencing.
That's
you are free, Jim.
You are free as a bird. You can give that to Deb and choose the second.
Huh?
We can laugh at other people's comments from now on.
How you behave yourself is up to you right now. You're at recess.
Okay, so deliberation, how is that going to work?
This thing is like a last track. So we do the, we vote on the charges.
Do we talk about it?
You are taping the recess? I'm sorry. You are taping. Who's recording the recess?
Oh,
so you've gotten this, Ted, right?
I don't know. What is this?
A copy to you.
Here's the other part of the apology, the rest of it.
Oh,
I gave it to Deb so she could put it in the
notes. She's right there. She has no right to do this. And you knew it.
I got it late this afternoon. What time is on there?
PNB says that specific bylaws do not grant any authority to suspend voting rights of any delegate or director.
I've seen this.
You have seen this.
So what do we do here? Will the bylaws state? First of all, we haven't had the penalty, so we don't even know what the penalty will be. But if this is the penalty, they have to be passed by three of the LSPs in order to change the bylaws. It's in the bylaws how to change the bylaws.
Yes.
And this is not the process to change the bylaws.
This is not changing the bylaws. This is saying you cannot.
Yes, it is.
You cannot remove it.
The bylaws state
the bylaws, this is from Tanaka, the board secretary.
The
it says you can't.
The bylaws without
the bylaws are as they are. You cannot change, do that.
Yeah, the bylaws.
Right, we can read
we're
the
going
bylaws.
By the bylaws as they are.
Not according to them.
Well, you cannot change the bylaws without
change.
The
he wasn't here.
So,
he's not
so
here.
Look it up, Deb, and have it ready for us.
I don't have a copy of this.
I do. You want to borrow? I'll show you what it says. Article 4, delegates. Removal of delegates, page 14. Any delegate shall be removed from the position of delegate, and we're down here on E. I'm sorry. Upon the fair and reasonable determination by a two-thirds vote of all the directors of the foundation, or a two-thirds vote of all the delegates for the same radio station as the delegate in question at a meeting, that's what this is, on said issue, after a review of the facts, which is what we just did. That in the sole discretion, the delegate has exhibited conduct that is adverse to the best interests of the foundation or the radio station. Remove a delegate. And if a delegate is removed and they serve as a foundation director or officer, they should also be deemed removed from any and all of these positions and from any positions on a committee that she held by reason of his or her role as delegate or director. Notice of a meeting to remove a delegate must be given in writing at least 30 days in advance, and they can't run for re-election for 3 years.
I gave it to Deb because she's the secretary, Bob.
And, well, it says that. It doesn't say anything about suspending them for a shorter period of time, which was done to Hank Glam.
Hank Glam is a separate thing. But I am absolutely flummoxed by your inability to recognize Joseph Davis threatening two women on the staff. And saying, oh, that's nothing. Oh, you got to refer that to HR. Oh, come on, Ted. Jesus Christ.
Oh, you file a charge and we'll go through this process with Joseph Davis.
Did you file, anybody file these charges? No.
Yes.
You selected a committee to do
Adrian.
It.
Adrian.
You selected a committee to do it.
Meeting. No, I just showed you the facts and now you've come up with a separate issue.
Okay, it's time to come back to order. Before we go through this process, I'm going to overview what we're going to do. We're going to read, we have one thing to debate, and that's the charge, the specification Bob already pleaded guilty to at the beginning. So we'll discuss the charge, and then we'll vote on it, and then we'll talk about penalties. So I'm going to read straight out of Robert's Rules. The question before the assembly is Mr. Mark guilty of the charge preferred against him. The charge is conduct tending to injure the good name of this organization. It's open to debate. It's open to debate, and then we will vote on it. If anyone requests a written ballot, I have them, and we can do the vote anonymously if anyone in the body prefers that.
I think that this is an open meeting, and I'm requested to vote. We will make the deliberation and the vote.
Does anyone request a written ballot? Okay. So the question on the floor is conduct tending to injure the good name of this organization. We're going to have speakers. For guilty and not guilty, we'll go back and forth for 10 minutes, if that's okay with everyone. Everyone will have 2 minutes. How does that work? We'll do 12 minutes, and everyone will have 2 minutes to speak, and then we'll vote.
Can we just vote? I think we all know how we're going to vote.
Well, I'll ask if no one wants to speak, then we can move on. The charge is conduct tending to injure the good name of this organization. Is there a speaker for guilty? Ted.
Yeah. Now, if this was... Oh, wait. How much time do I have?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. If this was the Deep South before the Voting Rights Act passed, and someone were to say, I'm not really interested in voting, I'm just interested in other aspects of government,